Blanco. You know the vibes. It's In The Game Podcast. The Breakdown with Denny Blanco. Please share, subscribe. We appreciate your support. Helps us with the algorithm. You LA fans, for those specifically, the specific LA fans who are D-Lo fans. Speaking of you specifically. Y'all got JJ fucked. You think JJ Redick got a dude as a college player? Jump shot crazy. Shoot. Defense was lacking. You think he fought his way to be a starter at the LA Clippers for a period of time? You thought he fought his way on defense to watch D'Lo just prance around not playing defense? Or anyone else for that matter? Huh? You're sadly mistaken. It's a new day. And I do see D'Lo getting benched multiple times. Don't be surprised. Now, the question I have for you LA fans is, when is the divorce over? Because clearly we can't just be doing this every single time during the year. LeBron's going to get frustrated. He is. How much longer is this marriage? You tell me, Lakers fans.
Interesting. Interesting. And he's not lying. Shout out to my guy, Denny Blanco. You know what I mean? Y'all want to go get y'all daily? Well, I don't know if it's daily, but go get y'all, let's just say weekly at this point, right? Dose of the breakdown with Denny Blanco. You know what I mean? Here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, as a matter of fact, let me give a shout out. He's one half of host. It's In The Game. Kind of reminds me of EA Sports, right? So shout out to Denny Blanco. We can't keep doing this. And I think the reason why we kept doing that is because we just didn't go after the, you know, we went after Kyrie Irving. You know, at one minute we wanted Chubbs, you know. There was a couple of guards. Zach LaVine was thrown in there. There was a couple of guards tied to us. Who else was tied? We had Scary Terry tied to us. We had a few guards tied to us. And we didn't pull the trigger. And when we brought D'Lo back, a lot of people were happy. So to those Laker fans that are D'Lo fans, including myself, but I'm also the D'Lo fan that doesn't mind seeing him leaving either, because we have a huge sample size of what needs to be worked on. He has been given the keys to be the third best in charge. I mean, now, don't get me wrong, we do have Austin Reeves. But remember, Austin Reeves, at the time when we found out Austin Reeves could hoop and he was going to be that guy, it was up for grabs at that point, because we needed a third star. We needed a third star. Now, I'm not saying that Austin Reeves is a star. I'm not saying that D'Lo is a star. I'm not saying that Schroeder was a star. But that was the third option. Those are the third options at the time. You see what I'm saying? Like, we were thirsty for those particular, for that slot, for that player, that option to step up. Because again, this goes back to after we won the championship, after we won the bubble championship, we came back the next year, and obviously, you know, without injuries, I'm saying we're going back to back. I'm saying that we bumped into Phoenix. We had a lot of injuries, key injuries. Schroeder dropped a donut on us in a closeout game. Now, that's a small little thing to whine about and to bitch about. Because we knew we knew we had no chance without having our guys, without having AD. You know what I'm saying? Without having Bron or hell, if you're not healthy, or at least 80% healthy, because if you missing a key player, it could be a problem. It could be a key role player. It could be a problem. We knew coming in, not coming into that, because coming into that, we were going damn near about to sweep their ass. But once we had those injuries hit us, it's not like we expected that third option to be Superman, But go out swinging. And Schroeder didn't do that. And shout out to Schroeder because still one of my favorite guards. But as far as D'Lo has shown he has been inconsistent, you know. And we've never raved about his defense. And JJ was no great defender at all. Coming from an institute like Duke, he played. Now, he probably played with effort, but as far as getting the job completely done, no, we're not looking at JJ to be walking around after his career with so many defensive titles. You know what I'm saying? Or making defensive teams and stuff like that. When I think of JJ Redick, I'm thinking green light. I'm thinking he's open no matter what. I'm thinking JJ is open up at the top. He's going to knock that down in the corner. We know when it comes to his shooting ability. That's why we appreciated him as being a coach, because we knew that he was going to lean heavy on the offense. That doesn't mean that he was going to shy away from telling niggas they got to play defense. And the thing is, it's like one of those things where you're just familiar with that player. We know D'Lo. We've seen D'Lo after he left. You know, after we got rid of D'Lo. We got rid of a lot of cats that we helped groom and develop. And they went on to these other teams and they went bonkers and still playing good. You know what I mean? Not to the point where we let potential superstars go. No. But they did turn into number two options. You know what I'm saying? Phenomenal, still being phenomenal role players and leaders. And they're on teams, and they're contributing, you know. But playing in that Denny, playing in that Laker jersey, bro, it's another thing. It's a lot of pressure. Is it fair? Well, I can sit up there and tell you, dog, is not. As a human, it's not. Everybody should come in with a fresh slate, given the opportunity to produce and show their talents and efforts. At the same time, this is real life. You don't have time. If you're put in a certain situation, you got to make the best of it. Because in certain sports or certain aspects of life, the time is not waiting on you. And you have somewhat of an advantage because if you have the skill set, all you have to bring is the effort, the mindset. I think that's one of the main reasons we all appreciated and loved Kobe was that he was at a certain point where all he did was focus on being the best and winning. There's not a lot of players that did that. And there's not a lot of players who had a reason to do that. You know, a lot of players did play with the passion. A lot of players just collected a check. And a lot of players just had the talent to go collect a check and show that they had a little bit of passion for the game. But there were certain cats that stood out, and we all know their names. They separate themselves from the pack because of how they prepare for the game, how they studied the game, how they manipulated the game, the whole thing, you know? So, yeah, will Bron get fed up with D'Lo? No, he's going to get fed up with everybody that's not producing. Why? Here's number one thing. He's always been surrounded by players to step up in crucial moments. That's one. Two, he doesn't have that much time left. And we've been saying that, I want to say after the bubble, he's had more injuries with the Lakers than he's had his whole career. And I'm talking about injuries that has kept him out for a certain amount of time or what has lingered on to where he can't perform at his highest. That's two. And then three, it's playing for the Lakers. You have a history above your head that's saying one is not enough. You know, when we talk about the greats and stuff like that, I don't need any outside fans, and I don't need any weird Laker fans that's a part of the fan base talking about we need to rethink or retalk or bring up the fact that we need to place LeBron somewhere at the all-time greats with the Lakers. No, let me tell you this, LeBron. By all means, can be labeled as the best basketball player of all time in the NBA and still will not be ranked in the top five of Lakers. That's a fact. And he can go to other organizations I don't want to speak on their star power, even though I could, but they're all-time greats. He'll be able to get in there as well if he played for those teams too. But there's going to be a certain, there's going to be a portion of players that he will just not be better than when it comes to that particular franchise. Because what have you done for that franchise? And he can't get it done by himself. Everybody knows that the Lakers go as far as Anthony Davis' health. Everybody knows after that, we need the role players. That's why I said in the very beginning of the season, I'm not looking for Bron to score anywhere between 25 to 35 points a game. Because if he's scoring anywhere between 20 and 25, AD doing the same, and our role players are stepping up, then we good. That means it's not too much weight on their shoulders. Because they're not able to, when have you seen it? That's what I'm saying. When have you seen LeBron? When have you seen AD anchor the damn team without the support of the team and win? You haven't. You haven't. In a bubble, KCP. You know what I'm saying? like it was cats that we had, and it was cats that went to other teams that stepped up. There's certain players that we need to step up. When you look at that Denver roster, they had niggas to step up. It wasn't just Joker. Joker was the anchor, but everybody else showed up. Niggas had problems with Gordon. Problems. You know, and when you got role players just playing a role and floating around, that's what it is. D'Lo hasn't shown that. And look, here's the thing. I don't give a shit what D'Lo does in a regular season. As long as we're in the playoffs, seeding doesn't matter. I mean, home court advantage, yes, that's still a thing. Don't get me wrong. But when you talk about placement in the playoffs, we're not talking about much. Just get in the playoffs. Because even then, I never understood this, and I never will. I don't argue about it. I don't really debate about it. But that whole avoiding certain teams, I never really understood it. It never sits well with me. It doesn't make sense to me. It's like you're avoiding them to what? Eventually get an injury? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we avoiding? If you go on a run, eventually you will have to play the team that's supposed to be there. So if that just so happened to be the number one, number two, or number three seed that you got to bump into earlier than what you thought you was going, you're going to have to handle that. No matter what. Don't wait until the Western Conference Finals or the Eastern Conference Finals or to get to the finals to play the best team. No, if you got to play the best team in the first round, second round, third round, nigga, handle your business. I never understood that. It's borderline stupid to say, oh, well, what we want to do is avoid. But at the end of the day, and yes, I'm pretty sure I'm that fan that says, well, yeah, maybe we should avoid. No, at the end of the day, if your goal is to win the championship, or I know some teams think like this, as long as we get a deep playoff run and show improvement. No, that's not the Laker thing. The Laker thing is we need to win the championship. So no matter who we play, we got to beat. Point blank, period. I never understood that. And the thing is, when it comes to D'Lo, no matter what matchup it is, I need him to perform well. And it's the playoffs. Same thing with AD. Like, it would be a dope thing to see AD win regular season MVP. It would be dope to have, for him to have that, because that's going to bump him up in the all-time power forward. I mean, let alone all-time big man. Not that high, you know what I'm saying? Because you still got he has a championship, but for him to win a regular season MVP and possibly another championship, he's gonna wiggle his way up there somewhere. Not the top. I don't when it comes to the top power fours. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but you know, KG, Duncan, Dirk. I think those, and maybe a couple of others, those three right there alone, I don't think you're going to be able to come close to them. You know what I'm saying? Unless you do something crazy your last couple of years, which I don't see happening. But to tie it all the way back to D'Lo, yes, the divorce needs to happen, needs to be finalized. He's been in trade talk, shit, since the year he got there. You know what I mean? Because it's all about moving pieces and making sure. And it's all the Bron effect. So, Denny, if you're wondering where I'm trying to get to, it's all about pleasing Bron. Until Bron is gone off the Lakers roster, I don't think we have the right roster for JJ right now. I think JJ has a whole totally different mindset of what he wants to do. But when you got the Bron Institute, it's nothing much you could do. Now is you have to appease him, you gotta take care of him, you gotta make sure AD is not necessarily happy in the same aspects of Bron, but happy as far as, you know, he got to get his touches and you got to put him in a position where he can flourish. You know what I mean? I know he probably don't like playing a five that much. You want to play the four. That's why we've been actively looking for a big man, even though I feel like we do need a guard that could penetrate, get to the basket and open it up on the outside for us. So JJ can run that goddamn offense where we could play the inside out. Right? And D'Lo would be so fire in that offense if he just played goddamn defense. Because he can shoot the three ball. He can get to rack. He's not the quickest. He's not the fastest. But he has shown that he can get to the rack. And it just hasn't been. You need a killer. And he has those games where, and it seems like he usually has those games where the trade talks start to come up. You know what I'm saying? Like, Denny, every year that he's about to get traded, whether he comes off that bench or not, the nigga gonna give us a 30-40 point game at least two or three times a year. You know, it's definitely gonna be before Christmas or on Christmas. You know, it's gonna be before the trade deadline, and he's gonna give us one towards the end of the season. But to answer your question about D'Lo and where he stands with us, I believe at this point there's a lot of fans, Laker fans, including myself, that feel like if we need to make the move, then we need to make the move because we're more thirsty for a championship than to appease our players. And we gave, you know, the head coaches that came through, we all have given them a chance. And you could clearly see the difference in how JJ approaches the game, in game, you know, rotations, the key thing is stopping the bleed. You know, the game the other night against Toronto, where they went on a run and we ended up being down by like 10, he knew when to call that timeout. He knew when to call that timeout. You know what I mean? And you can see how he damn near walked across the other side of the court when he called that timeout. He is a very energetic coach. He's not on a sideline spazzing out or being extra, but he has shown some interesting characteristic things in the post-game interviews, you know. And maybe that's a side of JJ that we just really don't know yet or understand, but he seems like he's media trained, so I think he knows how to maneuver with the media because he used to be a part of the media. So I think he knows what he's doing. That's the thing. I think he knows what he's doing. Do I think D'Lo is the guard for him? Probably not. It's easy for someone to tell you what you need to do and how to do it, especially when they weren't that good at it, but they still know how important it is. And a lot of coaches have been in that. A lot of these coaches who were great coaches wasn't phenomenal players, but they viewed the game and they saw a game. They saw the game and they know how to win. So it's one of those things where, yeah, a few players might have to tuck their ego, listen to the coach. And sometimes the coach is going to have to move out the way and let the players get it done. You know, JJ has been in the league. JJ has been in the league against some of these players that he's actually coaching and coaching against. You know what I mean? So he's not too far removed from the league. You know, and he was a great shooter. Great shooter since, I mean, I didn't watch him in high school, but definitely in college. Watch him his whole career, and the man can shoot. The man knows how to get that rock inside that hoop. Now it's just the X's and O's and making sure your players buy into what you're selling. It's a hard thing to do when you got Bron, who seems to have the most IQ ever, and challenges every coach he has ever had. And when he's upset, the first thing that goes is a couple of teammates or a teammate. You know what I'm saying? And that's just what it is. I think JJ is going to do that, but still by having he still will have a little bit of put. He's going to let him know, like, he's probably going to be here longer than Bron. I mean, that's not hard to think about, because Bron is damn near on his way to retirement, where JJ this is his first year of coaching. But what I mean is, I don't think there's going to be a situation where Bron will be able to get the coach fired. I think we like him overall. He's been well received for the most part. A lot of fans still feel like there's a no on it, and they wanted different options. Some of them couldn't tell you who those options were. They just didn't want JJ for some apparent reason. I said give him a chance. I was on board from the beginning. I'm not sitting up here tooting my own horn, but everybody had the same type of view, and it was like, hey, if we gave Pat Riley a chance and he was a hidden gem, we getting that same feeling from JJ. Why do we get that, even though he has no coaching experience? My nigga, we don't. For the same reason, we can't really give you a reason that's going to change your mind or appease your thoughts, but we're rolling with it. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we at. I'm happy with the coach we have, and I think I'll be happy with the decisions he makes going in the future. So, yes, D'Lo and the Lakers eventually will part. I don't know when. I am assuming before All-Star break. Maybe next month. You know what I'm saying? I believe D'Lo will be moved. And I also believe that JJ wants to get... I think JJ wants to get Bron that second ring for the Lakers. I think he does. I think that his ego is saying that's what we need to do. And it's going to be an uphill battle because chemistry, it's a lot. It's a lot. We haven't gelled yet. We played better early on. It's still early on in the season, but the first four to five games, you saw the defense playing a little bit different. We've gotten up more three-point shots, so the perimeter offense is there. The perimeter defense is still whatever, but that's across the league. But the perimeter offense, we just got to make more shots. In some cases, we just got to make more shots. With D'Lo, what they ask of him is to be more aggressive on offense and show more effort on defense. So there's a lot of guards waiting in the wing. We do got some guards waiting. It's just that D'Lo has been proven to be a starter or the sixth man to come off the bench for any team. You know, but he will be going, Denny. Denny, he will not remain on the Lakers. I don't think he will remain on the Lakers this year. I hate talking so bold like that, especially when we really don't know. And we felt bold about other pieces that needed to be moved or picked up, and it did not happen. A lot of this points to Rob Pelinka. And Rob has done a great job on feeding us and starving us at the same time. He keeps a balance. It's like us living in America. It's a hell of a balance to where he'll feed us one big meal, and then he'll starve us for a while. Don't make certain moves that a fan favors, a lot of moves that we would have liked. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. So that's my answer to that, Denny. Denny, you got to hit me up, bro. We doing this back and forth on Twitter and stuff like that. Eventually, you got to get on the show. I got to get on your show. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, you need to holler at me, man. You need to holler at me big time, because we gotta do something. Now, shout out to my boy King Germ, because King Germ sent me this scenario, and I pitched it to my wife. My wife is involved now, so shout out to King Germ. He sent me a post, right, on what would you do? One of those what would you do posts, right? This is a good one. So the post says, which one are you picking? Keep in mind, I'm always thinking prime. Yeah, I know there's a thing for the older players or the older athletes and stuff like that who I still don't feel like certain like the average American won't be able to beat certain cats after their prime, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about prime at their peak, their highest, or somewhere in that realm. Which one would you pick? Fight Mike Tyson in a 10-round bout, right? 10 rounds. Every round you last, you get $30 million. I'm going to say this again. Every round that you last, you get $30 million. If you get knocked out, you have to serve 15 years in prison. That's a hell of a... If you get knocked out, you got to serve 15 years in prison. Or guard Curry for 48 minutes. Guard Curry. Stephen Wardell Curry for 48 minutes. Now, every three-pointer he makes, you get 3 years in prison. For every three-pointer he misses, you get $10 million. So it's either you don't get knocked out and you last however many. Well, if you last all the rounds, you add that up. Every round you last, you get $30 million. Remember, this three rounds, this 3 minutes in boxing, 10 rounds. Right? And then 48 minutes, I mean, that's basically you're guarding Curry the whole full game. You're not coming out. You're not getting subbed or nothing like that. And then to be honest, like, we don't know the details of it. It could be a situation where when he goes out, you go out. But you have to guard him the whole game. So if you guys don't get subbed out, y'all don't get a breather, that means you got to play the whole game guarding him. When he subs out, you sub out, you come back in. So it might not be a full 48, but the point is you got to guard him and him only for the full length of the game. Every three-pointer he makes, that's 3 years in jail. Every three that he misses, you get 10 mil. So what would y'all do? My wife said the same thing that I said. I'm taking that Tyson bet. Let me tell you why. I don't care which body you pick, okay? I don't know what your peak was in your life. I don't care. Some of the professionals in this world cannot guard Kobe. LeBron can't guard Kobe for 48 minutes in his peak. Jordan can't guard Curry. Kobe can't guard Curry. Not for 48 minutes. Let's put it like this. Those three that I just said, which is arguably the top three of all time, they're going to jail. They're going to go with some money, but they're going to jail, okay? I've seen Wardell shoot all over that goddamn court. If they show a pinpoint to statistic of where he shot and made in a half court, and I'm just saying half court, and let's just say all the spots that he made from were blue. Do you know how crippling that half court would be? Now, of course, he's missed a lot, but he's made a lot. But he's made a lot. You got to look at it like this. Of course, I don't want CTE or brain damage. I'm covering my ass up. I told my wife, I don't care if I have to do this every time he hit me. But every time Mike blinks at me, I'm falling. And I'm getting up on an 8 or 9 count. You're going to lose a rib or two. Because eventually he's going to be like, all right, I'm about to just weaken his body and stuff like that. Yeah, you're going to get the run for a little bit. But if he knows the angles, which he does, he's going to cut you off. And your ass is going to get hit. You're going to get hit a couple of times. The thing is, you got to make sure you don't get hit. You get hit by that uppercut, you don't have to worry about going to jail. You're not going to jail. You're dead. You're dead. I believe if he connects on that uppercut, he's changing your life. Either changing your life or taking your life. So, but again, if you get knocked out, that's 15 years. If you think Curry is not going to make... Curry's going to make 5 threes in that game. So that's 15 off top. Well, 18, technically. Right, wait. Hold on. Let me get my math correct. He got to make it. So every three that he makes is 3 points. What did I just say? Where are we at? It's so many goddamn numbers around. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. All I know is hi, Sugar. How you doing? Let me ask you a question. Would you fight Mike Tyson for 10 rounds? Or would you guard Steph Curry for 48 minutes? Which one? You got to pick one. Fight Mike Tyson or guard Steph Curry? Huh? You going to guard Steph Curry for the whole game? And you going to lock him up? Okay. That's a good answer. Okay. Let me finish this show, and then I'll make you some breakfast. Okay? Mommy's working out. She'll be back. Okay. Sugar, you got to go upstairs because I'm recording. They can hear your iPad. Yeah, your iPad be super loud. So get that iPad up. I hear Steph Curry stopper. So as you heard, my daughter says she'll lock Steph Curry up 48 minutes straight. She going home with the bag. I'm taking Tyson, and I'm just going to fall down a lot. That's it. Every time he saw, wait. See, they never said the rules, so they never said anything about the TKO. You know what I mean? So that, none of that. I get the knockdown. Yeah, we're going to have to iron out the details in King Jerm because it's not enough. All it said was if I get knocked out in 15 years. Shit. If he does knock me out and I get 15 years, 5 of that 15, I'm going to be asleep anyway. So it don't even matter. All right, now, before I get up out of here, speaking of King Jerm, I sent him in 12 Cal a message. All right, so Max Prep, there was a school, South Bend, Washington, in Indiana, won 100-0 after opening their season with a 93-94-14 victory. And he went on to say the head coach, goes by the name of Steven Reynolds, says, when I tell you, this is his quote, when I tell you we could have scored 300 points, we could have.
And honestly, man, it was literally 30 minutes before the game. We get a text and it says, just kind of realized how good you guys were and was hoping we could play a JV team. Okay, problem. We don't have a JV team. We were not able to put one together. So we're like, oh, shoot. So we literally went back to the drawing board, brought all the kids in and said, hey, we're not sure how competitive this game is going to be, but this is what we're going to do. And we made a plan, you know, and just kind of went from there. And honestly, man, it was literally 30
minutes. We played half court, which is not our style. And I tell them, be hospitable, have sportsmanship. Head coach, Steve Reynolds. I'm on both sides. I believe when it comes to sports came from the whole gladiator shit. Shout out to Denzel Washington. But this gladiator, it's a sport. Now, again, do certain things need to be changed in sports? Maybe. But all this participation trophies and everybody's a winner. No, if everybody was a winner, then the championship would be pointless. MVP would be pointless. You know, first, second, third teams would be pointless. You might as well just take all the accolades away and just say, we just playing for cardio and passion. But rolling out your JV squad, you had to know that it was going to be bad. That's one. Two, you never want your players to play down or even give up a certain, because it's a psychological thing, like, maybe certain people can turn it on and off, but you don't want to put your players in a position where they have to act. They have to act like they're not playing that good, because you don't want that shit to be contagious or anything. Like, you don't want that in. You want them to be all killers, because once they get to where they need to get to, whether that's D1 or they get to the league, everybody's on the same level. And you don't want those, you don't want that type of trait to kick into where it's like, oh, I don't have to play this hard because this player isn't that good. Nah, you don't want to do that. At the same time, look, if we're going to have this, then just let's have this, but let's not report it like it's the biggest thing ever. We've seen scores like this before. It seemed like every year we're going to have something like this, whether it's football, basketball, whatever the case may be. There's going to be a superior team that plays against a team that's just regular Joe Small. You know what I mean? But to put them on blast like that, like, I really want to go back in the day. Like, what was that year? It was either 99 or 2000. I was in high school. Niggas, this is when niggas used to go get the newspaper, because we used to read the high school section to see who was the hottest niggas in the city or outside the city. And I remember getting the newspaper one day, coming to school, reading it during nutrition or lunch. And that's when we found out about DeJuan Wagner, when this nigga scored 100 points in high school. And it's like, the nigga was in, I forgot where he from. The nigga was somewhere back east, somewhere in Cleveland or Chicago, somewhere. He was somewhere. And I just remember seeing DeJuan Wagner scored 100 point guard, a point guard, scoring 100. So with that being said, like, this shit shouldn't go viral all the time. You know, and then we already know why some of this shit goes viral. It's not the wow factor. It's the fact that y'all want to make this a big thing. Y'all want to be the whoever's reporting it first or whatever case may be, want to make this a big thing so they can get some 15 minutes of fame. Because they know it's going to be a lot of heavy criticism coming towards that team. No matter what, no matter if a lot of people think the way I think, there's going to be a lot more other people think they should have cut the game. And I know in Pop Warner football out here, in certain leagues, not all leagues, in certain leagues, once you go up, if you're up more than like 32 points, you can't score anymore, or you have to pay the fine. So you got to run out of bounds. You know how many times my son team had to run out of bounds or stop on a 2 or 1 yard line or whatever? Yeah. Or just punt the ball. Because they up 32-0 at the half. Like, you can't score no more. And there was times where we scored more because of a rivalry or something like that, trash talking, you know. But that it was one of those things where we didn't want them to score. We didn't want them to score. And if we knew they couldn't score, then they played a certain way. But, yeah, I mean, at 32-0, niggas had to run out of bounds. And they basically wanted us to put in – we didn't really necessarily like have a third. We didn't have enough for a third string. We definitely had a second string, but we didn't have like a, you know, it's not like we got 50 something players on a roster, but we put in the less talented players and them niggas were still good, you know? And then a lot of them wanted to score because they don't get the rock as much as the starting or the backup running back or receiver, whatever the case may be. But at some point, you know what I'm saying? I remember there were times where we was up 32-0, or something like that, and we put the backups in, and then the other team scored, and then we had to put the starters back in. But the only reason why we put starters back in, because we wanted to push the league back up. No, don't report this stuff no more. We don't care. It's not, you know, we don't. And I don't even know if I want to watch a game like that to where them niggas beat them 100-0. You know, I should have done my research or whatever, because again, I've seen stories like this before. I've seen plenty of stories like this before. And it'd be a lot of girl squads. This is a girl squad, by the way. It'd be a lot of girl squads that do this. A lot. You know? I don't know, man. In a way, especially with these kids, I guess it's a good thing to see them get their ass whooped like that. But at the same time, a lot of these kids ain't even built like that. So it's like, cut, throw the game. Like, I mean, what is the other coach thinking? at this point. You never want to give up, but it's like, this shit is embarrassing. You know you don't, you have the slightest chance of scoring. Obviously, if it ended up in zero, that means you niggas possibly couldn't get that shit past half court. I don't know. Overall with BTG, but I appreciate the topic. King Germ, I'm definitely taking Tyson. You know what I'm saying? And the wife is taking Tyson. My daughter is a killer, and she says she is guarding Steph Curry for 48 minutes and coming home with the bag. So there you go.